Our scripture reading for this morning is going to come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel. It is a familiar passage, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we will be reading from verse 25 through 37. And it is found on page 948 of your Pew Bibles. And so at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The word of the Lord. God asks that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. I love the parable of the Good Samaritan. Probably my favorite parable, as it is many people's. Many people, even those outside the church, know something about this parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan, and have applied it in their individual lives as well as our social and national life. The parable of the Good Samaritan is one that is very well known. But I think it's important here this morning, as we look at this parable, to remember that Jesus is on the road. He is traveling. We've already been told in chapter 9 of Luke that Jesus has set his face towards Jerusalem. So Jesus himself is traveling, he's on the road, and this morning in our text, he is actually in the region of Samaria. Samaria, the region of Samaria, was between Galilee, from which Jesus is coming from, and Judea, where Jesus is going. And so in our text this morning, that's where Jesus is. He's in Samaria. And while there in Samaria, he runs into a lawyer, a scholar in the biblical law, and this scholar asks Jesus a question, and it's a good question. He asks, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And in order to hear the question properly, we must understand that the lawyer is not simply talking about the life that we all look forward to after we die, though that's terribly important. But he wants to know how he can begin to experience eternal life right now. Life that has God all over it. How can I inherit eternal life? It's a question that I suspect that we all want to know. In a world of fear and anxiety and danger and violence and hatred, how can we inherit eternal life? How can we experience light that has God all over it? Light that is touched by the eternal? It's a good question. I almost expect here to Jesus, for Jesus to say something like, well, you can begin by believing in me. Or you can confess in your hearts that I am the Son of God and you will have eternal life. But Jesus doesn't say that. Perhaps because Jesus knows that the question is a test question, and sometimes the best way to respond to a test question is to offer another question. And so that's what Jesus does. Jesus says, you know the law. What does it say? And indeed, the lawyer does know the law. In fact, he knows the same thing that you and I know. He knows that the essence of the law is about love. Loving God with all of our hearts, minds, and strength, and soul, and loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. And so Jesus tells the lawyer that he has answered correctly. After all, what is really at the heart of the question that the lawyer is asking is, who are the people of God? Who are the people who are worthy to inherit God's future? And how do we know who they are? Any good Jew at the time would have had no problem answering that question. The people of God, the people who will inherit God's future, are the people who have the law and the people who keep the law. And the essence of the law is love. And so any good Jew understood that they, as God's people, were the people who had the law, and they were the people who were charged to keep the law. So they are God's people. And so Jesus tells the lawyer, you are correct. If you do this, you will live. You will really live. You will have abundant life. Not that cheap artificial life that our world has to offer, but you will have real life, abundant life, eternal life. And so that ends the first round of questioning that the lawyer engaged in, and perhaps the lawyer is feeling a little bit put upon. He was trying to test Jesus, but it seems that Jesus perhaps got the best in that round, and so the lawyer does what lawyers do. He asks another question, but this time he wants to know the precise definition of neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Who is the one I am supposed to love like I love myself? And that's a good question, too. Almost as good as the first one. I find myself asking that question a lot. Who is my neighbor? Is the neighbor the person who looks like me? Is the neighbor the person who thinks like me, who has the same values that I have? Who is my neighbor? Is the neighbor someone in the same pew? Is it someone who shares the same denomination that I do? Is the neighbor someone who is close by, who I see every day? Or is the neighbor someone who is far off, who may need my help? Who is the neighbor? Sometimes it is convenient to confine the neighbor to those who are in close proximity to us. Makes it easier to ignore those pleas for help that people come from people who are not so close. Sometimes it's more convenient for the neighbor to be on the other side of the world. Makes it easier to ignore those who are in close proximity to us, who may be different than us in some way. So the lawyer is really putting Jesus to the test. Who is my neighbor? But this time Jesus responds to the lawyer's query, not with another question, but with a story, a parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And perhaps I should say this morning that parables are not just simple illustrations that invite us to think, but they are stories that Jesus told, often dangerous and shocking and subversive stories even, that pull you into the world in which Jesus is trying to create. And so Jesus tells this story. A man, presumably a Jew, is making the treacherous journey from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a very dangerous and treacherous stretch of road. And along the way, he is set upon by robbers and bandits who beat him and strip him and leave him for dead along the side of the road. And indeed, the only saving grace is that they leave him along the side of the road, because maybe someone may come along and see him and save him and tend to his injuries. And as fate would have it, indeed, someone does come along, a priest, a clergy person, someone knowledgeable in the ways of the Lord. And I suspect that if I were bleeding and bruised on the side of the road waiting for someone who might come along to help me, I would be delighted to know that a clergy person was coming along. Clergy persons are supposed to be compassionate, supposed to be kind, supposed to be caring. They're the people who are supposed to do something like stop and tend to someone's injuries. But instead, the priest doesn't stop. He crosses on the other side of the road and passes by. Maybe he was just having a bad day. Sometimes even we clergy people have bad days. Next comes a Levite. Levites were not priests, but they were very important religious officials. They had a very important role in the temple, kind of like deacons and elders in our congregations today. And so a Levite is coming by, and maybe this man who's on the side of the road is thinking to himself, well, the clergy person passed me by, but here comes another religious person. They're going to stop and tend to my wounds. But the Levite doesn't. He too crosses the other side and keeps right on going. Perhaps he was afraid. You can't be too careful. All kinds of scams out there. You never know. And so the Levite keeps on going. Two religious officials pass by, and neither of them stop to help. But then comes a Samaritan. And many of you are aware from your Sunday school days that Samaritans and Jews didn't get along with each other. In fact, they despised each other. Samaritans were the descendants of the northern 10 tribes of Israel that had been wiped off the map by the Assyrians 700 years before the birth of Jesus. They shared with Jews a common tradition, but they had their own holy days and their own holy places. And we usually have the greatest antipathy towards those with whom we share a common tradition, but also with whom we contest that tradition. So Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other. They didn't get along with each other. But shockingly, as Jesus tells the story, it is the dreaded Samaritan who stops and renders aid to the injured man on the side of the road. Not only does the Samaritan stop to render aid, but he goes above and beyond the call of duty. He tends to the man's wounds, gives the man his own transportation, gives money for the man's lodging and safekeeping, and even promises to come back by and pay any extra expenses that might have been incurred. Truly, this Samaritan is the one who loves this man, the kind of love that approaches the love for the self. Think about this story. Think about who we might substitute for the Samaritan. Think about ourselves being on the side of the road and a Muslim coming by and tending to our wounds after a good Presbyterian or a good Baptist passed us by. That's the kind of parable that Jesus is telling this morning. And at the heart of this parable is mercy and kindness. What Jesus is actually saying to the lawyer is this: if you want eternal life, if you want to experience the kind of life that God has God all over it, then you have to love God with all of your being. And you have to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the neighbor is anyone who is in need of your mercy and kindness. A young man in Pittsburgh once asked the late novelist Kurt Vonnegut if everything was going to be okay. And by everything, he meant the state of the world. Is the world going to be okay? It's the kind of question that a young man would ask a wise old novelist like Vonnegut, who had seen up close the horrors of the world. And Vonnegut replied, "Welcome to the world, young man. It's hot in the summertime and cold in the winter. It's round and wet and crowded. At the outside, you have about 100 years here, and there's only one rule that I know of. Darn it, you have to be kind." I think that's part of what Jesus is saying in this parable this morning. That eternal life, God's life, is rooted in kindness and mercy and love. If you want eternal life, then you have to be kind and merciful and loving. You have to be a good neighbor, especially to all those who have been stripped and beaten and who we have left by the side of the road. Kindness and mercy and love is at the heart of God's own life. And so Jesus is saying that if you want to inherit eternal life, then you have to be kind and neighborly like this good Samaritan. Kindness and mercy, of course, are in short supply in our world, especially the sort of kindness and mercy exhibited by the Good Samaritan. It's the kind of mercy that not only stops and comes close, but the kind of mercy that is willing to risk its own life and give all that it has in order to save the one who is on the side of the road. It's not that we Americans don't open up our hearts, we do. I'm always moved at the outpouring of generosity and support during times of natural disasters like Hurricane Sandy or the tornadoes that hit the Midwest. But many Americans, including many communities of faith, give, and they give generously. But it just seems to me like more and more our national character seems best defined by the reality TV shows, where what's often displayed and rewarded is not kindness and mercy, but cruelty and meanness and treachery. Whatever it takes to stay on the island, whatever it takes to stay in the house, whatever it takes to stay on the team, that's what is often celebrated. And more we seem to view each other not as neighbors and citizens, but as consumers and competitors. If you're in a position to secure the necessities of life, then good. But if you're not, well then, we'll just leave you by the side of the road. Every now and then, I still harbor the hope that our country is still something of a Christian country, or if at least not that, at least a country that is still very much influenced by the vision of the Bible and the vision of the New Testament. I realize that I'm often quite disappointed in those hopes, but especially when we leave people by the side of the road, when we leave people hungry and tell them to fend for themselves, when we recognize that there are lots of people in our country that don't have access to the kinds of care that they need, and that we don't care. We are called to something different. We are called to a different kind of vision, the vision of this parable. The parable of the Good Samaritan reminds us that what leads to real life, what leads to eternal life, to God's own life, is the life of showing kindness and mercy and love to everyone. I said earlier that Jesus' parables were often dangerous and subversive and even shocking. In fact, they were the kind of sayings that often got Jesus killed. And the shocking thing about the parable of the Good Samaritan is not that everyone is our neighbor, including people that we might despise, and therefore we should help everyone, though that would have been a very shocking message, and it is a shocking message. But the shocking thing about this parable is that it is the despised Samaritan, the religious outsider, who exhibits the characteristics of God. It's the Samaritan who embodies the law and the commandments and who does the will of God. The priest passed the man on by, and the Levite passes on by. The fellow Jews pass by. The people who had the commandments pass by. The people with the credentials and the religious credentials, they pass the man on by. But the religious outsider, the Samaritan, is the one who stops. That's what's so shocking about this parable. And what Jesus is saying to the lawyer in our text this morning is that if you want to know who the people of God are, the people of God who will inherit God's future, if you want to know who they are, they're not going to be the people that you think. It's not just going to be the people who have the right credentials or who believe in the right creeds or who have the right titles or who belong to the right denominations, the people who make the right confessions. They're going to be good religious people, insiders, who will not inherit eternal life because they refuse to follow the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there will be despised outsiders who will inherit eternal life because they follow the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way of self-giving love. And that's something that we all ought to ponder today. What is it that God wants from us? Does God want people who just hear the word, or does God want people who actually do the word? People who will roll up their sleeves. People who will allow their lives to be interrupted. People who will stop by the side of the road. People who will kneel down to those in need and render aid. Jesus reminds us that this parable of the Good Samaritan is calling us to a different kind of vision than the visions of the good life that often prevail in our culture. Just one more thing that I want to say, then we'll close. I am a good Reformed Protestant Calvinist Presbyterian. I know that we are saved by God's grace, that we are saved not by what we do, but we are saved by the grace of God. But there is what is often called a cheap grace, a grace that says that I can do anything I want and that God has to love me anyway because that's God's job. Well, that's not the kind of grace that we find in our parable this morning. God extends God's grace for us to do something, to live lives that are worthy of the kingdom. And the fact is that all of us are people on the ditch, in the ditch. All of us are people who, at one time or another, were laying on the side of the road. All of us were broken and beaten and stripped and spiritually dead on the side of the road. We were without hope in the world. But then a stranger came along. A stranger came along and he rescued us and he lifted us up. A stranger came along and became a neighbor to us. Not because he shared our racial identity. Not because he shared our national identity. Not because we were deserving in any way, but the stranger came along and he lifted us up and he saved us because we were people who needed to be saved. People broken and laying on the side of the road that needed desperately for someone to come by and pay attention to us. Who needed desperately for somebody to come by and rescue us. And Jesus did that very thing. He came by and he gave all that he had so that we might have life. And now he tells us to go and do likewise. If you want eternal life, go be a neighbor. Go be a neighbor to people who desperately need to avail themselves of your kindness and your mercy. Go live the kind of lives that are worthy of life eternal. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who not only came by, but who stopped and lifted us up so that we might have life and have life everlasting. We ask, Lord, that you bring your Spirit upon us and empower us to go out to live that kind of life, to follow Jesus out into the world, to begin to hear the cries of those who desperately need mercy and kindness. Help us to be the people who lean into your future, because we are the people who have not only received your grace, but who extend your grace in all that we do. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.